You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of Exodus. Exodus. I enjoyed the singing tonight. That was a blessing. We appreciate you that have come out tonight, a good crowd for Sunday evening. And we appreciate all of you that have come. We want to continue where we left off this morning, looking at some portraits of the Trinity. The times in the Scripture when God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are present for a picture, and they're all together. Of course, I reminded you this morning, I want to remind you tonight, that God has stamped the number three, the triune Godhead, everywhere we look. Paul told us there were three heavens. He said he was caught up into the third. We found this morning that there are three forms of authority. There's the authority of the home. And there is the authority of the church. And there is the authority of the government. We found that the home has three parts. Father, children, and mother. Three parts. We're a three-part being. Body, soul, spirit. We often sing in three-part harmony. I found from my study there are three types of art. There is defining art, there is delicate art, and there is detailed art. The earth is made up of three parts. There's the earth, there's the sky, there's the sea. Matter of fact, everything that is around us tonight is made up of matters. And all matter is made up of atoms. And God come along and stamped three on atoms. There's three parts to them. Protons, neutrons, electrons. Everywhere you look, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost has stamped their likeness upon it. We began this morning in the book of Genesis looking at the creating portrait of the Trinity in the little phrase, "Let us make man in our image." I want us to go further tonight, and I want us to look in the Bible at the ark. At the ark. And I want to look tonight at the controlling portrait of the Trinity. You say, "Preacher, how in this world are you going to get the triune Godhead out of the ark?" I didn't know if you knew how many arks there were in the Bible. You'd almost think God rigged it. There's three of them. Wow. Gracious. Stamping the Trinity everywhere you look. The triune Godhead. If you're in that ark of safety tonight, it is the only place that we can find protection, preservation, perseverance, and personification. It almost makes me want to legally change that old song of days gone by. Hiding in thee, thou blessed ark of ages. I'm hiding in thee. To be in him tonight is the only place where you can continue, persevere, you can be preserved, you can protect yourself, and you can personify the likeness of Christ. I want to begin tonight in the book of Exodus, chapter number 2. And I want to look first of all tonight at his control over the types of the ark. The types of the ark. I want us to look first of all tonight at Moses' ark. If you have the Bible there, verse number 1. Chapter 2, Exodus. "There went a man of the house of Levi, took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." You remember Pharaoh had sent out a decree to kill all the baby boys. We're awful upset about abortion. I did not know if you knowed it or not, but man's been in the baby killing business a long time. It didn't just start in our day. But every time there has been a wholesale killing of babies, it has been for a purpose. What is it, the purpose?
to announce a deliverer was coming. Killed a bunch of babies in Moses' day. How come? Deliverer's coming. Years later, when Jesus came, Herod sent out a decree to kill all the babies 2 years and under. How come? A deliverer's coming. You want to try to stop abortion? Forget it. You better cry out, there's a deliverer coming. Huh? You're never going to get the Supreme Court to overturn that. How come? Ain't nobody screaming out, there's a deliverer coming. The world's coming to an end. Are you listening to me tonight? They hid Moses. In verse number 3, she said, and when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark. This is Moses' ark. Of bulrushes, and dabbed it with slime and with pitch. Put the child therein, and she laid him in the flags by the river's brink. As we begin to look at the ark of Moses, I want us to look first of all at the building material. Preacher, how many types of material did she use to build? Gracious, she used 3 types of building material. Gracious, God slam eat up with this 3D lady. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. What kind of building material did she use? The Bible says that she took of him an ark of bulrushes. You say, why is that so important? The little word bulrushes is our little word papyrus. It is that which was used for making writing material. Did you hear the kids sing a minute ago? I didn't know if any of you got it or not. They said that they were born to serve the Lord. Why in the world would his mama make that ark out of papyrus, that which you would later write on? Duh, he gave us the first 5 books of the Bible. He's the one that wrote them. Gracious, my, right from the very start, God paves the inside of his ark with born to serve the Lord. Born to write. I notice also the scripture says that she dabbed it with slime. That little word slime, you want to look it up in the concordance, it means to pave. To pave. She paved it. She slimed the inside. She paved it. Oh, is not this one that she's saving gonna pave the way for a deliverer to come? What else did she put in it? The Bible said that she pitched it. I was extremely interested in that little word pitch. It is our little word for atonement. Gracious, you almost think God planned this thing from the very start. Moses is the first one to offer a sacrifice of a lamb. He is the one that created that whole system of sacrifice and worship. Oh, gracious, she has paid. You know, I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, God forbid I'd be nosy. I was wondering tonight if any of you in here has ever been born to do absolutely nothing but run all around like a chicken with your head cut off trying to make a living. Or I wonder if there's any of you that were born just to serve the Lord. I was wondering if you're raising those kids up and you're drilling it in them almost constantly. I'd like to see you get a good job, make plenty of money, and I won't have to take care of you. No. I'd like to see you serve the Lord. I'd like to see you be a preacher or a missionary. I just keep telling it, putting it before them. Are you listening? Because if you ain't, nobody else is. You can rest assured of that. There's none of you sending any kids to any public school around here where there's going to be a teacher tomorrow stand up and say, hey, you've been born to serve the Lord. Don't tell me that. It ain't going to happen. I'm not saying it's right and I'm not saying it's wrong, but that ain't going to happen. Are you listening to me tonight? She has paved the way for Moses to be in that ark of safety and to be born to serve the Lord. I don't know about you. I'm not testifying for you. Hindsight is 20/20. And as I look back in my rearview mirror, this whole thing's been rigged for me to be right here tonight from the very start. I was a total renegade heathen for 20 years. I finally ended up in Alexandria, Virginia in jail before God finally saved me. But my mama told me when she was carrying me, God told her I was going to preach. Huh? Are you listening to me tonight? I was born to serve the Lord. I was just wondering if any of you, some of you are looking at me like, because if you were born to serve the Lord, you ought to be waving your hands. Hallelujah. Yeah, I was born to serve the Lord. Huh? The kids told us a minute ago they've been born to serve the Lord. I wonder who out here will change their mind that they've been born to do something else. Oh, the ark of Moses. But go further with me. I'm talking about his control over the types of arks. Hebrews tonight, chapter number 9. Notice the second ark that is mentioned in the Bible. The ark of the covenant. The ark of the covenant. The ark of the covenant always speaks of the crucified Christ. Whenever ark and covenant are put together, covenant means to cut so blood will flow. Ark of the covenant, the crucified Christ, that was what was in the Holy of Holies. That's where the mercy seat was. That's where the blood was poured out for the atonement over talk of the ark of the covenant. My interest tonight in chapter number 9 is the book of Hebrews. We know that the ark was a picture of Christ. I was wondering what was in the ark. What did they lift the lid and put in? Gracious, they put three things. Gracious, man, there he goes again. Three things inside of this ark. So whatever's in this ark, Jesus is this to you. This to you. Watch the text. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 3. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna. What did Christ, the Ark of the Covenant, what did he have inside of him? He had the daily provision that would meet anything you will ever need. The choir sung a minute ago that he is all I need. I believe that. I just have one small, and I know you was going to come quick with that amen. Please hold your applause. I believe that with all my heart. I have one little small problem. 99.9% of the time I don't act like it. I have found that it's easier to get up there and sing about it than to live it. But regardless whether you're living it or not, he is enough for all your tomorrows. And I know this will upset some of you. He don't even need you to work to take care of you. I am a proven fact of that. I did not strike one lick this week. I got canceled and he took care of me. Are you listening to me tonight? God doesn't depend upon us. Oh no. It makes me want to cry out, hiding in thee, thou blessed ark of ages. I'm hiding in thee. I was wondering tonight if he was enough for you. Pot of manna. He is enough for all my provision. Watch closely now what else was in the ark. The Bible says, and Aaron's rod. Aaron's rod that what? Budded. they had a stick inside of this ark. What in the world? They have a stick in there. It wasn't connected to anything on either end. You know, most of the time when you got a stick and it's not connected to anything on either end, it's usually dead. But this stick, it said, was budding. That little word budding means that it had flowers on it and it had fruit on it. Man, I got stick here. He ain't connected here. It ain't connected there. I don't know what's wrong with it. He got flowers on it. He got fruit on it. Wow. What in the world's that doing in Christ? I want you to know tonight, not only is he all the provision that I need, but he is all the power that I need. Huh? I have not got to come over here Wednesday night sucking my thumb, whining about I can't do it. He said, I have put a budding rod inside of you. He said, it ain't connected to anything. He said, but it's alive. And I put it inside you. I love that, don't you? I'll stop right there and have a smile break. I know some of you ain't gonna shout, but you can smile. Huh? Aaron's rod that budded. But then he says this, and the tables of the covenant. Not only does he have that golden pot, he's all my provision, he's all my power, but he's done put the Ten Commandments inside of me. I was witnessing the other day at a motel to a red dot Muslim. A what? A red dot Muslim. That's a very extinct Muslim. Had red dot right in the middle of his forehead. I was talking to him about Jesus, and he said, I keep the law. I told him I didn't have to keep it. He was horrified. He said, how come you don't have to keep law? I said, he wrote it inside of me when he saved me. He said, he's a keeping it for me. Are you listening to me tonight? I ain't got to get up tomorrow and try to turn over a new leaf. I ain't got to get up tomorrow and try to do better. I'm not got to get up tomorrow and keep the power of positive thinking. Oh, no, I'm in the ark. The ark's inside of me. He's all my provision. He's all my power. He's all my purity tonight because I'm in him tonight. I have found him to be enough. Huh? Oh, I love that, don't you? His control over the types of the ark. Now, let's go back to Genesis and let's look at the third ark. You remember there's three of them. The triune Godhead. Genesis chapter number 6. I want to look now not only at his control over the types of the ark, but his control over the testimony of the ark. I was wondering tonight, are you sure tonight that you're in him and that he's in you? I didn't ask you if you've been down Romans Road, German Road, French Road. I didn't ask if you've ever prayed a sinner's prayer. I didn't ask you if you had your birthday written in front of your Bible. Hell will be full of people did that. I'm asking you tonight if you're 100% sure God Almighty's ever moved inside of you. He's in you. You're in him. Hiding in him. Thou blessed ark of ages, I'm hiding in thee. I see tonight his control over the testimony of the ark. Chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, verse number 14. Could I notice his control over the material testimony? The material testimony. What did they make the ark out of? The Bible says in verse number 14, God told Noah to make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Well, preacher, this is going to mess up your little theory. There's only two materials. Oh, it's not going to mess up anything. The number two is the number for God the Son. I want you to see in this ark that it's full of this number that stands for Christ. Matter of fact, It's full to the top and overflowing with Christ. They made it out of gopher wood. This speaks of Christ's humanity. It was a wood that was almost impossible to rot. But in order to have this gopher wood, there must be the cutting down of a tree. In order to have this ark of safety that you and I could hide in tonight, the eternal Son of God had to come in human form, and he had to be cut off. But he said in this material, he said, "And thou shalt pitch it within and without." It was pitched on the inside. It was pitched on the outside. With pitch. You say, what's the big deal about that? There are two words that Moses had at his disposal for the word pitch. One is the word zeta. It is the little word for a covering. He didn't use it. Sorry. He took the other. The other one is the little word kapora, which is the little word atonement. Atonement. If you're in the ark, you're covered inside and outside with the atonement. Preacher, are you telling me tonight that all Jesus did was make a covering for our sin? That's all he did in the Old Testament. But when we get to the New Testament, the word pitch changes. It is now propitiation. You remember that big old word? Peter uses it some, James uses it some, John used propitiation. What does that mean? It means to expiate and take them away. Wow. The old preacher years ago used to preach in a white suit in his revival meetings. The first night of the meeting on Monday night, he got some blueberry stain right there. He said every night he took some talcum powder and made an atonement for his blueberry juice so nobody could see it. He said Friday when he went home, he took it to the cleaners. They put some chemicals on it and expiated it. There's some of you sitting right here tonight. The only thing you've ever done with your sin is cover them. You better be sure they've been expiated. And I'm not talking about some of them. I'm talking about all of them. The past ones, the present ones, and the ones you ain't never done before. If you're hiding in that ark, all your sins are gone, past, present, and future. That ought to make a Jehovah's Witness backslid wave his hands. He sure wouldn't sit there like this. All my sins are gone, ain't it? One. Oh, no. Gracious, you'd have to get excited about that, because some of you got some doozies just like me. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, two types of material used in this ark. But notice not only the material testimony, but notice the mission testimony. The Bible tells us in chapter 6, verse number 17, God said, "And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. From under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." He says, "And I will establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, thy sons' wives with thee." He said, Noah, he said, "Go tell them that the world's coming to an end." I was wondering tonight, I thought I'd take a vote. How many of you believe that the world's going to come to an end? Well, preacher, there's a fairly good percentage. There's several of them that just... Could I raise your hand too? It don't matter if you keep your hand down or not. It's coming to an end. Yes, sir. I don't know when. I don't know how, but it's coming to an end. Yes, yes, yes.
judgment is coming. Noah said that for 120 years. You know what they said to him? He that old fool! He think the world's coming to an end. He pitched in that big old boat. That boat is a football and a half long. What an idiot. Until it started raining. This way and that way. Please forgive me. I hope you won't get mad at what I say. Most people believe, historians, that the population of Noah's day was at least half of our population today. There were 3 billion people upon the earth. And God sent all 3 billion of them to hell with their clothes on. I do not believe that Noah put a big smiley face banner on the front of the ark and told everybody God loves you. No. He had told them for 120 years, judgment is coming. There was no other message but hell awaits you. You can be a fool tonight and not turn to Christ. Play the odds that maybe you can make it before this thing comes to an end. But you just never know. The only place of safety is in that ark, pitched within and without. Some of you sitting here tonight have got children sitting beside you that are old enough to know right from wrong. They're old enough tonight to go to hell with their clothes on. Are you listening to me tonight? It ought to really crank you up tonight to tell them, this thing's fixing to come to an end. You may want to think about really getting right with God. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, I'm talking about the mission, the test. Well, what in the world did Noah do? Look at verse 22. This ought to go along with what you've been preaching, preacher. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Suppose somebody stop you on the way out tonight and tell you that there's going to be a flood. You need to build a boat, football and a half long. I know what you'd tell them. Crazy. World coming to an end. That's like old Simple in Pilgrim's Progress. Old Christian come along and said, Simple, you better get right. Hail's ahead. You know what old Simple did? He said, I don't smell no smoke around here. Hail, I don't see no fire. You listening to me tonight? Judgment's coming. Only safe place is in the ark. Watch this now. We're talking about his control over the testimony of the ark. Not only do we see his control over material testimony, his control over the mission testimony. But look in chapter 6 again at his control over the mysterious testimony. How many people were in the ark? Noah, his wife, and his sons and daughters. Peter tells us there were 8 people in the ark. You say, what's the big deal about? What's the big deal? They didn't have 6 in there. They didn't have 10 in there. They had 8 in there. 8 is the number that's always connected with the new birth, the new beginning. Go over to John chapter number 3 where Jesus talks to Nicodemus about being born again. The little word birth is mentioned 8 times in that little portion of scripture. Here, to get into the ark of safety, is the mentioning of being born from above, being born from heaven, being born of God. There was 8 of them. It's a mysterious testimony that he has control of. Look at chapter 6 in verse number 19. Quiz, quiz, quiz. How many types of material was there used to build Noah's ark? How many? Anybody tell me? Not 3. 2. Watch this now. Oh, gracious, I hate to even show this to you. You ain't gonna believe it.
He says, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female, of fowls after thy kind, after cattle after thy kind, creeping things of the earth, two of every. Gracious, this ark is full of two. What's two? The number of Christ, second person of the Trinity. The ark is full of him. Oh, but watch this. Oh, it's so good. I hate to even show. We're talking about his control over the mysterious testimony. There's eight people in there. Eight is the number of new beginnings. It's full of Christ, the second person in the Godhead. But watch this. Oh, it's so good. Look at chapter number 6 again in verse number 16. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. The door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower, second. How many stories does this ark has got? Three stories in it, three floors. It's full of two, and they're all sitting on threes. Do you ever remember reading this verse over in Paul's writings in Colossians? In him, talking about Christ, dwelleth all the what? Fullness of the Godhead bodily. Gracious, this ark is full of two. They're sitting on three. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Does anybody would venture out and tell us what Paul's next words were in Colossians? And ye are what? What? Complete in him. He says if you're in the ark, he said you're complete. What's that mean, complete? The word that Paul uses is a ship's term. It means fully rigged, fully loaded. He says if you've got him on board and you're on board with him, he said you won't never have to port and take on any other cargo. He said he's enough to take you from here to there. There's some of you porting thinking you need to take on something else.
Oh, I need a little something.
He said, you're complete. He said, when I saved you, he said, I put inside of you all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He said, you're totally rigged for the trip tonight. He said, you don't have to stop nowhere and take on no cargo. Man, that makes me want to shout. Huh? Are you listening to me tonight? It's control over the testimony of the ark. Could I close with this? And I'll be done. Not only do we see his control over the types, his control over the testimony, but notice his control over the treasure of the ark. There is, if you're in Christ tonight and he's in you, you've got one more treasure, hon. Oh, one more treasure. I notice, first of all, there is the treasure of perception, what you can see. I was blown away to notice there was three treasures of perception. One is that this ark had a door and a window. You say, what's the big deal about having a door and a window? Look at verse 16, chapter number 6. He says in the middle of the verse, and the door. How many doors does it have, preacher? Just one. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to get up on top. You're going to take on water. Well, I'm going to be a pretty good old boy. He ain't inside the ark. He said he was the only door into the ark. One door. I thought it was interesting. It stuck it in the side. Didn't one of those songwriters write that song, there is a fountain flows from his wounded side? Wow. You'd almost think God wrote the Bible, wouldn't you? Sticking a door in the side of the ark. Perception, treasure. They got a window in it. Praise God. Preacher, I hate to be somewhere where there's no wind at. I like to look out. Sure enough, wouldn't help you with this window. How come? God told Noah to put it in the ceiling. In the ceiling? Yeah. What in the world does he want to do that for? You'd be the judge right there in verse 16. He says, a window shalt thou make to the ark, a cubit shalt thou finish it above. He said, put it in the top. How come? Because you won't be able to do two things that you love to do. Look around and look down. Me and you love to do it, especially when we're going through troubles. I tell you, y'all pray for me. I'm really going. No, you can look down all you want to. You're not in the ark of safety. There's no window down there. Huh? You can't look around. There ain't no window. What am I going to do? I must look up. Set your affections on things above. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. If you look around, you won't do nothing but worry. If you look up, you won't do nothing but worship. Gracious. You know, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but this was not a pleasure cruise that Noah was on. Oh, no. It's 40 days and 40 nights and a little longer in a zoo with his in-laws. Huh? You're not going to tell me being in a zoo with your in-laws would be something to shout about. Woo! You'd be shouting if you got out, not while you're in there. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, I don't know what you're in tonight. You may be in a zoo tonight with your in-laws. I tell you what you could do. It's awful deep. I don't know if you can handle it or not. You could do this. Oh, yeah. Huh? That does help. Oh, I'm talking about the treasures of perception. Chapter number 8, another treasure. Verse number 4. The Bible says in verse number 4, and the ark rested in the seventh month. Gracious, the seventh month. That's the month of atonement. That's the month that the animal was sacrificed. Well, preacher, what day did they sacrifice the lamb? Seventh month, 14th day. That's when the lamb. Well, gracious, Noah missed that. Well, how far did he miss it, preacher? He missed it. Gracious, he missed it by 3 days. Wow. He rested on the 17th day. I hear tell after Jesus died, 3 days later he arose and he was alive forevermore. If you're in this ark of safety tonight, you can rest because you ain't never going to die. It's impossible for you to die tonight. That's what he told Martha down there by the Lazarus grave. I notice also in chapter number 8, the Bible says in verse number 8, also he sent forth a dove from him. Preacher told us last night that dove, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later at Jesus' baptism, come and lit on him. How many times did Noah go up that ladder, let that dove out of that top window? Preacher, you're not going to tell me he let it out 3 times. With all my heart, I'm going to tell you he let it out 3 times. She came back twice. The second time, she brought an olive leaf with her, speaking of the peace of God. And the third time he let it go, it flew away and it kept flying around until it lit on him. And then it took and got inside of me. And I'm safe, blessed Ark of Ages. I'm hiding in thee. I'm hiding in thee. I was interested in this thought, the treasures of perception. Arthur Peake, the great writer of yesterday, said in his Exodus commentary, when studying the Trinity, the triune Godhead, in these arcs, he said at this point, he laid his pen down. He said he lifted his hands in praise.
And he told God, he said, once and for all, I am convinced that this is not cunningly devised fables, but this is truly the Word of God. No man in all of his human manipulation could have manipulated a book like this and stamped 3 everywhere it was. Preacher, how can I know that Christ is enough for me? I was thinking about that in my brother's death. Been dead 2 months this week. His wife told me some time ago that he was as close to God in the last 3 or 4 months that she has ever seen him in all of their 46 years of marriage. His life has been a roller coaster. He traveled almost every day. He died in his sleep in a motel in Bowling Green, Ohio. Maid found him at 1:30 in the afternoon. He had been gone some 7 or 8 hours when she found him. The coroner inventoried his stuff. My brother had gotten to the place, he was a colonel, flying colonel point-wise with Delta Airlines. He flew so much. He only took a bag about the size of a doctor's bag, black. It looked like a doctor's bag. That's all he ever took. He had everything he needed in there, for it mattered not how long he stayed. Everything he had in that bag. I was interested in what the coroner told my sister-in-law. He said, your husband was into God a lot, wasn't he? Why did he say that? In this small bag that he carried everything that he needed for no matter how long he was gone, there was 9 devotional books, 3 Bibles, and 150 memorization cards. He was in the process of memorizing Psalms 119. He was 66 years old, and he was on verse 57, memorizing. I got to thinking, if I die and they come in and sort through my little junk, or gracious, just suppose it was you died, and they sorted through your junk. I wonder what they tell your loved ones you were into. Are you listening to me tonight? Would it be you were into all your little sports paraphernalia? All your little work, all your little trinkets that you collect? Or wouldn't the coroner tell somebody, say, gracious, they was into God, wasn't they? Everywhere you look, there was God. Walter Pink was convinced this was the Word of God and that he ought to be deep into it. His control over the treasure from this ark. I was thinking in closing tonight, Jacob of old said, when he found out that Joseph was alive, he made this statement, it is enough. Joseph is alive. I wonder tonight, in your actions and your reactions, the way you conduct your life, the stuff that you're collecting tonight, does it tell the world, I'm in Jesus, Jesus is in me, and it is enough? If I could take the license of the old song that we love so much and just recreate it a little bit and say, oh, safe to the ark that is higher than I, my soul in its conflict and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I be. Thou blessed ark of ages, I'm hiding in thee.
in the calm of the noontide, in sorrow's lone hour, in times when temptation cast over me its power, in the tempest of life, on its wide heaving seas, thou blessed ark of ages, I'm hiding in thee. How oft in the conflict, when pressed by the flow, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often with trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou blessed ark of ages, hiding in thee, O thou blessed ark of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Preacher, how can I know that I'm hiding in him? It would probably be evidenced tonight by the fact that you keep running to this book and hiding in it, and you keep taking this book and hiding it in you. Blessed Ark of Ages, I'm hiding in thee. I wonder tonight if by your own testimony, your reactions, your actions, the way you're pressing your children, the way you're guiding your children, you're magnifying with your life, Christ is enough.